Hello everyone and welcome to today's Team Liquid podcast. Today with me will be Wax Angel and we'll be talking about the Korean Air Star League Season 2 where the group ceremonies just occurred this past Wednesday. Wax Angel, please introduce yourself to the fellow listeners.
Hey, Wax Angel from Team Liquid Net. Been writing for a site for like, I don't know, 8 years now.
And I gotta say, it's basically started.
Yep, pretty much. I have post ID number 1, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, so you're pretty much the elitist, the cream of the crop, basically. You're like the king of staff.
Oh, by the way, I love your accent.
thank you. It's been loved since 2004.
Wait, is that like a pure Australian accent, or is it mixed with something I can't like figure out right now?
I think it's an Australian accent.
All right. No, all right. Whatever. We'll leave that talk for later. Let's talk about OSL.
Yep. Let's just go over and begin with the group selection controversy. Basically, I'll go over it. SK Telecom were like, well, we got playoffs the next day, so we're going to pull our players away from the group ceremony. And then OGN reacted by moving it forward to the Wednesday. Let's go over that, Wax Angel.
So basically what's going on the Korean internet right now is everyone's against SKT in this issue because they're saying, you know, they did the fans a huge disservice by threatening to pull their players from the group ceremony, which is, I wouldn't say it's a huge event for the most of StarCraft fans, but it's a really big event for the hardcore fanboys and fangirls because it's like a really rare opportunity to see what the personalities of pro gamers are like. And like when they denied them the opportunity to see that, you know, people got pissed on, you know, the major StarCraft websites.
Yeah, definitely. When someone can't attend due to maybe being in military, like Ruby or Boxer, in past seasons, or maybe when they're ill, like Kanata, that's okay. But when your team decides to pull you out for not a reason, but not one that is worth using, it seems a bit of a disservice to your fans and to the league you're going to play in.
Yeah, but you gotta wonder about whose fault is this really, because, I mean, the scheduling itself, it's not really SKT's fault, the scheduling. This is OnGameNet's fault for holding their group selection on a Friday, 2 days, on a Friday, what is it, 2 days before the playoffs?
A day before,
right. And, you know, it's like Kespa's fault for scheduling their playoffs so close to that. I don't know like, who's supposed to give in that situation, but Kespa and OGN, definitely they should have considered like talking to each other about it, right?
Yeah, definitely. But you also have to consider that the past 3 years we've been running off one of probably the most hectic schedules that I've seen as a pro gaming fan. You've got Pro League five days a week. You got leagues every other day that Pro League isn't playing. It's lots to fit in.
Yeah, but I feel like Kespa and OnGameNet, they know this and they deal with complaints about, you know, the schedule being too hectic, too chaotic, too stressing. They deal with that all the time, and they haven't done anything to really alleviate it. And, you know, the easiest thing to move, honestly, is a group selection. And the fact that they haven't moved it until now, when, you know, the team finally decided to do something about it, I'm not really sure if I blame SKT for this whole thing.
Well, you should consider that SKT did only give less than 48 hours notice that they were going to pull their players from the group ceremony if the ceremony wasn't going to be moved, so it's kind of a blunder from them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say like every party is at fault for this, and I guess it went well in the end because it got moved, and on GameNet looked like they got bullied around a little bit, but I don't know, it worked out in the end.
Yeah, it definitely did, and CJ also got that break. Funnily enough, unfortunately, they got eliminated. And when watching that ceremony on that Wednesday night, there was a pretty big crowd.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's always successful. That's like where all the fangirls go to.
Yeah. Shall we move on to the next topic?
Oh, yeah. Well, do you want to talk about the ceremony in general in that case?
Yeah, let's start on the ceremony in general. I'll start off. From what I saw with the ceremony, it was very structured compared to past OSL ceremonies that had the brain maps and the rumor milling and all that.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the on-game Magoo ceremony, by this point, I kind of wonder, it's just been around for so long and you're used to it, but I don't know what purpose it serves anymore. I mean, besides, like I mentioned before, it serves to give the fans a glimpse at what these pro gamers are actually like, even though, they know they're there to be seen, so they kind of change their personalities a little bit. And, anyone can lie on TV, but still, it's a big show and entertains the fans. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, definitely, but we also have to do consider the main point of the group ceremony, which is to draw the groups. And to be honest, I've got a problem with the new ball system. It just feels weird to me because I'm a traditionalist at heart, and I enjoyed the snaking concept that they ran before all this weird ball stuff.
Oh yeah, the ball system is ridiculously complicated, and you can read a good explanation on that in the accompanying news post this podcast is going to be in. But I feel like the entire point of the ceremony now, especially the way it's structured right now, where you can choose between two groups that you can go to, it's pretty much structured for the sole purpose of avoiding team kills, and that's really all it does. Like no one, clear as they rarely pick for any other reason just to then to avoid their teammate. Like maybe the first two, three players they can pick, okay, I want to get an easier opponent, I'll go here, I'll go there. But after that, it's pretty much just about avoiding people on your own team.
Yeah, definitely. And when you get to the concept of the golden ball, it's if you have like a team kill in a group, you basically have to beg that person with the power of the golden ball to move stuff around. It's pretty silly.
That's the thing about team kills. Like everyone hates them so much. Players just know, like I think I recall from a previous group ceremony, there was a player who didn't really have anything to do with his golden ball. He was already kind of indifferent, but he just decided to do the other guys a favor because he didn't want, even though they're not his own teammates, he said, okay, I don't want guys on other teams having to play their own teammates. And I don't know why he should care. I mean, it's nice, but I don't know why he should care about that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an individual competition. You want to see everyone fight each other, but everyone's all buddy buddy in the pro gaming scene in Korea, which is pretty crap, to be honest. What do you think of the OSL's concept of like the balls and golden balls compared to MSL's Steel Draft?
I thought the original Steel Draft, not the one they did last season where 16 players were fixed, that was kind of boring, but the original Steel Draft was it was entertaining. For the purpose of making things entertaining, it was very successful because there was a lot of banter and there was a lot of negotiating going on. But just the idea of seeds in general, if I want to talk about that, I don't know if seeded players need an additional benefit of being able to fix the brackets. Having a seed in itself is already an awesome benefit. You have to, I mean, you're going through something like what, 15 less games to get to the league. I mean, that in itself is a huge benefit. And I don't know if there's any other professional competition that gives their seeded players that kind of advantage. I mean, Flash is already the best player in the world. He doesn't need his MSL seed. Effort, he won the OSL. I don't know. Well, maybe he needs to help more than Flash, but whatever.
Maybe they should just go to the good old random picking, or they can go back to the snake format without the seeds picking who they want first. Maybe they can do it by Kesper rank or something. Speaking of ranking, with the drawing of the balls, I wasn't really a fan of how they got each allocated a random number to see who would draw their balls first. Do you think they should do this by ranking or maybe past OSL performances?
Oh yeah, if they're gonna keep this format, definitely they should make it somewhat skill based on their past performance. Right now, it's a crapshoot. It's a shitty crapshoot too. But I don't know if like the entire format in the first place. So everything with it, I don't like it anyway.
All right. Do you want to go on to
Well, no,
talking
well,
about
one more
that?
thing,
Oh, sorry, go on.
the format. Sorry. Well, here's a suggestion. How about making a World Cup? You seed it, and but then you also put it. In World Cup, you have regional seeding. Why not do seeding with team
Race
seeding?
or team?
Raise or team, yeah, because people hate. Apparently, we're in an age where we have to live with the fact that people hate team kills, and you'll never get like guys on the same team play each other. So, I mean, if you have to like admit that's the fact, then why not do like a format where you're seeded based on your Kesper rank, and you do some kind of like weird separation like the World Cup based on your race or your team, and that way you get like even spread of players from different teams, and like you get even spread of skill. I mean, that sounds all right.
Yeah, definitely, and it cuts on the time that they have to broadcast the group ceremony because it takes a really long time to just pick 12 players into four groups.
That's the thing about the group ceremony. Like, the vast majority of the ceremony was all this filler material around game they made. I mean, I love the filler material because you get to see the pro gamers being funny and like talking shit about each other. But really, I mean, like half of it's filler.
Yeah. Let's talk about this filler material just to pass time. We had the praying maps and we had the anonymous confessions or whatever, and we had the Stargirl talks. Let's talk about those.
All right. So for the anonymous confession stuff, it's pretty much they interviewed pro gamers and they said, okay, you can talk about another pro gamer, talk shit about him, say what you want about him. You can just call him by name, but most of them chose to, say, oh, this guy I know. They chose to like stay anonymous. And that was kind of boring. It was just saying like, oh, I think this guy enjoys his debaucherous lifestyle without going into too many details. It was just very vague stuff. It wasn't that fun. I thought the pro gamer, the brain maps were more interesting, where, pretty much they gave the pro gamers this picture of a human brain divided into segments. And they told them, okay, just like write down in these little segments what's on your mind right now. And, I thought it was funny, but I was interested because no one wrote StarCraft 2 except I think it was Fantasy.
Fantasy, yep.
And he wrote it on like this, the tiniest
The dot.
square. But what I was wondering was, a lot of them wrote they were worried about re-signing their contracts. And when I think about it, if their contracts are up, when's the free agency period again?
Just after Pro League finals, so it's around August, late August, early September. Just basically the off season, I believe.
And that times in very closely, well, not very closely, but within a few months of StarCraft 2 coming out. And I wonder if the reason they wrote I'm worried about getting a new contract is not because, I mean, they're obviously worried because, how much money can I get in my next negotiation? But maybe they're thinking about, maybe I should sign with the StarCraft 2 team, or maybe I'm thinking about my future as a gamer, or the future of StarCraft itself as a pro game.
Yeah, definitely. And I believe you said to me when we were talking on MSN that Pure was planning to retire after this OSL because of StarCraft 2, I assume.
No, I think, I don't actually know why he was going to retire, but that was the rumor going around, like, last OSL, that, Pure is soon going to retire. But, he got the seed, which revived his career. But that was a rumor. I mean, I wouldn't put much credence in that.
Yeah, and like in some other gamers like Light, they said that they were going to retire when StarCraft 2 takes over from StarCraft 1.
Oh, I haven't heard that one, but, that's interesting to know.
Yeah, let's talk about the one-on-one Stargirl talk just quickly. It was very awkward when I was watching it. Very, very awkward.
Oh, it was a terrible segment, but it's the kind of thing fangirls love.
Yeah, I guess it's trying to appeal to the hardcore fangirls rather than us hardcore males from Team
Oh yeah,
Liquid.
that's the one segment that has no fangirl fanboy overlap. That was purely for the fangirls.
Yep. let's move on from the chitter chatter and we'll go right into the
Describe
deep
what it was,
segment
though.
of OSL groups.
All right, can I just describe what it was, though? The
Yeah, go
fangirl,
ahead.
the Stargirl talk. So they had a segment. Well, the Stargirls are like the two,
Booth
those women
girls.
in the OSL booths for no reason whatsoever, except to be eye candy. So they
I
just.
believe C told me that they were only there just to keep viewers on.
Yeah, they're eye candy, pretty much. But yeah, so they sat down each of the pro gamers in this OSL season 2, like next to the Stargirl, and they just had them talk pretty much. And that works because it's just incredibly awkward and funny that happened. I mean, it was terrible, yet it was like watching a train wreck. And I'm not really saying like the StarCraft players were very awkward or anything. I mean, mean, they're not total nerds. I mean, they're fine, but it's just like the entire concept was so poorly done, and it was just like a train wreck to watch this forced, very contrived scenario.
Yeah, it was really weird how you saw people like Flash and Cal, they're doing fine, and then you see people like Action, and they're so far apart. It's really funny to look at.
I did enjoy though that while for most of the gamers they were the ones who were more intimidated by the women, for I think for Carl and Lita, the Star Girls were actually like more daunted by them. Lita because he's so cute and Carl because he's so tall.
Oh yeah, Leader. Oh God, when it was no, it was. I think it was. Yeah, it was Leader. He was like, my question was, something like, I believe Cal likes men or something like that. And the most awkwardest exchange was between, went between the two.
That actually hasn't gotten like any gotten that big on Korean internet. I'm surprised. I guess because everyone knows it's a joke.
Yeah. Shall we talk about the OSL groups?
Oh yeah, let's actually talk about the OSL
Yep,
groups.
the mate. Just let me load him up and go over to group. You should go over to group A quickly so I can get
Wait,
started on that.
can I do like a little bit about like how the actual selections went or like a
Oh
trend in the
yep, definitely go.
All right. Okay. So this year, well, this season, there was a group selection. We went pretty much as the trend has been going for the last, shall I say, like 1 year, 1.5 years.
Past 2 seasons. I think
Yeah.
the ball thing went with the Korean Air.
But the way that the way the players decide to use their picks has been pretty much the same for the last 18 months. Everyone picks to avoid team kills. No one picks a tough opponent. Everyone picks for ease now. It's just changed so much since early to StarCraft. I think maybe like 90% of the gamers, they pick for the easiest matchup or an opponent they think is poor. In this case, you know, this year it meant like pretty much Hydra or like or Action or whatever. And yeah, like I don't think Flash has like ever really picked an opponent for a group that he thought was, well, he never picks for Glory, I think, Flash. Do you recall? Do you recall if Flash ever picks for like glory instead of his practicality?
No, I don't.
That's the thing about Chittung and Flash. Like every time
Yeah, they
they're always
always go for the weakest opponents.
pretty much they're always number one opponent, and maybe I mean they're always the number one seed, and maybe that's part of the reason they're number one seed each time. They always like they do the best they can at every stage to make sure they're going to make final again.
That kind of works against Bisou, though, because I remember that group where he had like three Zergs and he got eliminated in that group, which was pretty funny.
Well, yeah, but that was actually good for him because, you know, by all means, that was good for him. But he just didn't play well. He didn't. It wasn't like he picked, okay, I'm gonna pick Xavier. I'm gonna pick, who else was a good Zerg at that time? I don't know. But he picked like three Zergs, but they weren't good Zergs. Well, except yeah, and Xavier was on a down decline at that point too. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the groups these days. I love the days when, back in like your prime, I guess, when you were in Korea, when players were like, "Oh, I really want to play this guy because he's good." Like, do you remember the MyCube Group of Death with, I believe it was Chota Yellow, Nowra, and I forgot the fourth person. No, like that. Those sorts of groups were my favorite because you saw the stars playing in it, except, Nada. Unfortunately, I believe Yellow threw a game against Nada, which sent that group out of proportion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll ever really see a group of death again, except for like luck. It's n there's never going to be an intentional effort to make a group of death anymore.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but that's what you have with the modern pro gaming we have right now. Let's move on to talking about the groups, if I may. Group
Groups.
A, we've got Effort as the seed, last season's champion, Action, Later, and Bisou.
Yeah, and this group is kind of interesting because Effort actually picked Bisou as his opponent, which was goes against everything I just said about, you know, people picking for practicality instead of glory. So yeah, effort. Congratulations, effort. You're a baller. You actually picked someone. Well, that's just how it's always been, though, I feel. No one's ever really picked the best opponent, the very best opponent to face. When people make glory picks, they pick someone who has good name value, but they know they've been on decline, and that's sort of how it is with Bisou.
Definitely.
And people, I remember Xavier got picked a while ago in the MSL, and that was, at the time, he still had name value, but everyone knew he was on decline as a player. And that's the kind of pick it was for Effort, I guess. He knows Bisou is like, he's a good player, and he's very famous, like probably one of the most popular pro gamers, but he's still very beatable right now.
Let's talk about action and later. We are assuming, well, we'll get to that later, but Action and Later, they're two very inconsistent players. They can either shine or they can suck balls.
Very much so. Actually, I'm interested in how Action will do because he's a Royal Rotor this time, right?
Yeah, he's a Royal Rotor along with Free, I
Yeah, the thing
believe.
about Action is, at least in Pro League, he's shown some clutch performances, so he does perform under pressure.
Okay, I remember the game he played against Mine, or no, Mine and Huasin. He's got superb hive management, like Xavier-esque, but
Oh yeah, that's exactly the player you want. He reminds you of. He reminds you of Xavier in terms he's not the fastest person. He doesn't have the greatest multitasking, but he always has those defilers when he needs them. They're always like popping out of the Nidus Canal just before his Tetra gets destroyed, so you know, they put down that swarm or whatever. And his defilers start just wherever he needs them. They're always everywhere, plaguing, swarming, and he makes it look so easy.
All right, and we'll talk about later now. He's pretty much the poster boy of the Sparky's team ever since the match fixing scandal. He has three difficult opponents in Effort, Action, and Bisou. I was wondering if you think he can possibly take a game of any of them.
Actually, I like Lita in this group because TVZ is definitely his best matchup. And, well, you know, Action's, well, let's look at this way versus each opponent. He'll beat Action because Action's terrible at Lair. Like, Action needs to go to free base and Hive at least to be any good. That's like Action's pretty much, that's like what Action's strengths and weaknesses are. He's awesome when he gets to Hive. He's like unbeatable at Hive, but he's really terrible at Lair.
Yeah, he's like a bit of a Zerg for GG, I guess you can say.
Right, 4G, isn't the other way around?
Well,
4G.
he can like for GG can only win with a certain timing. I guess Action can win. I know
Action.
who to compare Action to. Maybe no, not Flash.
Action wins games that are longer than 17 minutes long. That's what Action does. But before that, he's kind of weak. But yeah, Lita can definitely beat Action before there, or do enough damage to him before there. Effort, the thing about Effort is, I'm kind of down on Effort, even though he won the last OSL, and like I praised him a lot after that win. And you know, he definitely deserved to win that OSL. Let's put that controversy to rest, even though by saying this, I'm not achieving anything. But yeah, people like to downplay his achievement, but you know, he did what he did. He needed to do to win an OSL, and he's definitely a champion caliber player. That said, I don't think he's anywhere near as good as he was back in 2009. And I think, you know, Lita's TVZ is just really, really good.
All right, so let's conclude by predicting he'll be advancing from Group A. I personally think it'll be Effort and Bisou. I mean, Bisou is sort of
Didn't
playing
talk
pretty crap. Sorry,
about
go
Bisou.
ahead.
All right, yeah, Bisou. So Bisou, is he back? It is.
Possibly.
Shall we spoil the Pro League?
No need to. Like, I think everyone's watched the game. Or games.
Yeah, so Bisou has been kind of clutch lately, which is amazing to see because he's been like terrible. Well, not terrible. He's been like very, very inconsistent for the last 6 months, and now he's coming out of nowhere and he's winning games versus good players. And the funny thing is, like, he doesn't play well when he wins them, but he just wins them. So it's really hard to say he's back yet completely, but he's getting results. So it's a kind of it's very perplexing.
Well, when you watch the game he played against Midas, it was a pretty awful game from Bisou. to our standards. If he did some of this better, he would have won. If he did some of that better, he would have won. But, like, you can see he's obviously got his winning streak back, per se.
Big game versus Jadon in the ace match that he won. Like, he played awful, and well, he played awful, and Jadon played awful too, but he still won. And so that's the thing. Like, you look at a player and the quality of his games, and you can criticize, but in the end, you just can't go against winning.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got players like, I don't know, Jaehoon and Pure and all those mediocre players. They win, but they play really shit.
So, I feel like, well, in this group, I really can't go against winning, so I gotta say PC right now. I just feel like he has it going. And like pro gamers, like they talk about momentum so much, and I didn't really used to believe in momentum that much, but like now that I hear it so much from pro gamers, it's starting to like wear on me. So I don't know, PC really has all the momentum going into this. I feel like he'll be able to scratch out, yeah, at least 2 wins, come on.
Do you think Bisou will go over effort?
Oh, the opening game, is it? Oh no, it's not the opening game. What map is that on?
Let's check the calendar.
Yes, indeed.
I gotta go to next month. Bisang Dreamliner. So, Flight Dreamliner.
Oh,
Which is
Dreamliner.
very interesting because Dreamliner is a very weird map.
Oh, this is gonna win that one.
Alright, so we're saying Bisou will probably 3-0 his group, effort 2-1, and either action or later will be in the bottom. Yeah, they'll both be in the bottom.
Oh, you think Effort's gonna go 2-1? I think Lito will go 2-1.
Really? I don't think Leader's that good enough to beat Effort.
Oh, you don't think so? Well, who's like? Well, let's think about this. Who has Effort beat, in TVZ these days besides Flash? God, it's hard to say that, but yeah.
That's hard to think about. Can't
Yeah,
remember.
Flash is impressive, but still, like, who has he beat lately besides Flash? Even though being Flash is awesome and all, but who else has he beat?
Alright, let's check the TLPD because I suck at statistics like this. Effort versus Terran. Well, he beat Midas and Suni, and that's about it.
Yeah, he's not really. He hasn't like proved he's gotten that much better at DBZ after, I mean, ZBT after he beat Flash. I mean, beating Flash in itself was like an amazing achievement, but it doesn't mean this is going to be so hard to like. This sounds so wrong, but he beat Flash in the final. It doesn't mean he's a good ZBT player.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean,
What's that?
if we talk about his ace match against Fantasy on New Heart Bay Bridge, that was such an awful game. I swear, it sickens me just thinking about it. How Effort completely screwed that game royally.
Yeah, well, the thing I noticed about Effort watching his games during his resurgence and his big LSL run is that he's really good when he's ahead. He doesn't play well from behind. He's awful from behind. He doesn't do comebacks, but he plays really well when he's in a good situation. He ices games off really, really well. He gets the Hive and then he does all the right things from Hive. He puts Lurkers and Defilers where he needs them. He launches like multiple attacks at critical locations. He keeps up on his opponent's expansions. He just plays really well when he's ahead, but when he's behind, I don't really like him.
All right, we should move on. So, you think Leto will advance as A2 over Effort?
Yep, I think I'm going with Lita. You can go with Effort.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Group B. We got Flash, Hyok, Zero, and Haya.
Well, so what's your take on that?
Well, I definitely think Flash will advance from the. I'm not saying he'll advance from the group well. He'll advance, but he's definitely gonna have a tough time against Haya and Zero, who have taken games off him.
Let's talk about like Flash's slump. I mean, do you think
Yeah,
it's
it's
slump?
losing every ace game.
You want to call it a slump now?
I'd call it a down surge in his performance.
Okay, but you're not going to call it slump yet.
No, when he gets eliminated, then I'll call it a slump.
Yeah, that's the thing about Flash. I guess like Plexa put it decently in the power report where he said Flash has been playing, he's been playing good games, but he's been losing them.
And nobody knows why he's been losing him.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the thing about Flash right now that I find it hard to like make any predictions is like he's gonna have this ridiculously long break where we haven't seen any games from him in like what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks now? I just find it
Like the
so hard.
last game he played was only last night against Violet, and that was a pretty dumb game.
Yeah, it's versus his own teammate. So, it's like there's not enough like samples of Flash right now to accurately say whether he's in a slump or like how he's doing right now. I think a win because I'm gonna give him like a ton of past credit for being awesome. So I do think he'll 3-0 this group just because he's Flash and he'll probably come back with a vengeance saying, okay, I gotta get serious. I gotta be good again.
Got to get that golden mouse.
Yeah, so Flash 3-0, you think so?
Yeah, maybe. I think he will 3-0, but I wouldn't be surprised if he loses a game against Hire or Zero.
Yeah. Flash is gonna be back, so don't worry about him, kids.
All right, and let's talk about the Zergs before we move on to Hire, Hyuk and Zero. Hyuk, very, very inconsistent.
Oh yeah, definitely consistent. I mean, I thought he was getting good, and then he started sucking again. So yeah, you can never really predict this guy. I don't know. He's such a fucking oddball.
I think he's a good talent.
Okay.
I believe he is Zergman's brother, if you remember him from Samsung Khan and K-Tech.
Well, he's better than his brother, at least.
Yeah. No, his brother made it, made fourth in a couple of OSLs, funnily enough.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. I don't know. I find it so hard to make any predictions about him. I mean, he'll definitely like the game versus Zero is the only one he can rely on. Which is, he has a game versus Zero, which is the
And
one
Zero
thing.
has the worst CVC in the world at
Zero has,
times.
Zero has dismal ZBZ. Like dismal ZBZ.
But his ZVT ain't that bad.
Okay, well, let's talk about Zero then. Well, Zero, I used to think he was gonna be really good because his macro style was just like really fun to watch. Like when he gets to four bases and a ton of drones, he could just like stomp over people. But like the results have shown, I guess, that it's all a style, but not much substance. It just falls apart against good players.
Yeah, and when you look at the group, he's most likely gonna lose to Flash and Hire, and Hyuk's a toss-up, so, like, the group doesn't look bode too well for him.
Actually, wait. I think he has the best chance against Haya if he had to like win him a game.
Yeah, but still, Hire is the more favored over Zero in that case.
Talking about inconsistent, Hyuk's very inconsistent. Zero, he's kind of the epitome of I'll beat bad players and I'll lose to good players. He's sort of like a Zerg version of C. Now that I think about it, but Haya's also like inconsistent. What the hell? Like Haya,
He beat Flash in an ace game and then started sucking again.
I was just coming around him and I was gonna say, okay, Haya, you're not Magikarp anymore. You're finally like turning to Gyarados. And then he loses to fucking Go Rush. And
Oh
like,
God, the game! Oh, go when Go Rush wins games, you know it's because the opponent's bad.
he lost to a fucking Hydralisk Rush. And anyway, well, I'll never get tired of saying this, but Go Rush is literally the worst pro gamer right now. He is the presently the worst pro gamer.
Yes, even Hydra, after not playing for 3 months, beat Go Rush. And that says something.
Fucking Hydra, who doesn't even play Brood War. Who doesn't play Brood War anymore. Yeah,
So
that's why I seriously. He's just too inconsistent.
right, so if you want to make a prediction for who would advance second from the group, out of character and higher who you think it will be. Oh, and we must consider that we got to find out what let's find out what map the Bisung Dreamliner will be played on for the ZBT if it's unfavorable for
Oh, actually,
higher.
I don't actually believe it's unfavorable DVD yet. It's an 8-game sample. I still want to see more.
All right.
I
Okay,
still
so let's
honestly.
just ignore the maps for now. Who you think will advance?
Later. You can talk about them like after the group, I guess.
Okay, yeah,
Or
sure.
you can edit it to be before or after. All right, so if I had to pick between these three guys, it's really a toss-up for me, but I just have to go for Haya because his record's been the best as of late. And if I have nothing else to decide on, I'll just go with the record.
Yeah, I'm going with Haya too. I think he is the better out of the three.
So weird. He's just so bad for so long. Oh well, congrats, Haya. You're good now.
Right, shall we move on to Group C?
Yep.
All right, so Group C, we have Pure C, Jadong, and Hydra. Let's talk about Pure. He did win the ace game against Light on match point, which isn't unsurprising considering Light totally blows against Protoss. But then he lost the spoiler alert, he lost that ace match against Bisou
Wasn't surprising
today.
because Pure blows against Protoss.
Like I remember talking with you on MSN and you always rang on to me about how Pure is a really bad player. Do you still think he is actually a bad player, just really fluky?
Oh no, I've always said he's a bad player, but I've never said he's fluky. I've said he's a bad player, but he has that instinct that lets him win games. He's like The Rock, pretty much.
Oh
The
yeah.
Rock is a
Oh
terrible
yeah, he just
player,
recycles builds.
but he has the winning instinct to win games versus better players. And sometimes that's all you need. You don't need to be like the better player by like, well, I don't even know what better means anymore these days, but you don't need to be the better player in terms of mechanics and all that if you have the killer instinct. And Pure has that. I mean, Pure made it to fucking OSL semis and he's terrible. So, I mean,
A bit movie as well. And movie's a pretty decent player.
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like great, there's a lot of players who are like really good, but who don't have that spark, like C, who's in this group too. Like C's never made it
Yeah,
past.
he's never made it to the round of four in anything.
Yeah, and he's an awesome player, but he doesn't have something these other guys have. So, but still, I think Pierre's gonna get killed in this group though.
Yeah, let's talk about C. He's been around for quite some time,
Where
four or so years. He's had pretty high expectations and he's never fulfilled them. And I'm wondering why he hasn't.
Oh yeah, I wonder why. Well, there was actually this fun line of thought the NBC game commentator, Ethan One, was talking about. It was sort of like he was just rambling about C during the playoff game, during the early stages of the match. He was like C's the kind of guy who plays well when he's with his friends and he has the support of his friends and he has he doesn't have the pressure. So if he knows Light's behind him, he knows his teammates are behind him, he'll play well because he can just, play as he wishes. But when all the pressure goes on him and he has to do it all alone, that's when he crumbles. And I thought that was an interesting theory. I don't know C, so God knows if that's accurate at all, but and that's pretty much how it has been for his entire career. He's great in Pro League, but he can never seem to do it by himself.
Yeah, it's quite a shame because he is a pretty cool player to watch. I remember watching his game against Yonk in the Star League when he was about to debut, and he had pretty nice SK Terran. But you look at his group, and he's got Jadong, Hydra, and Pure. Those are all players that he can potentially lose to.
Yeah, that's the thing, because even though Hydra and Pure are not good players,
They
they're
can still
still
take games.
yeah they're the essential upset player. They're the guy, they specialize in upsetting people and making people angry, and that's what they do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Hydra, he took a game off Fantasy, and everyone thought that Fantasy would take it to the floor with Hydra, so, yeah.
Fantasy sucks at DBZ. Never mind.
Yeah, we're going on a tangent. So, let's move on to Jadong.
Yeah.
Yi Jadong, he's pretty much, in my opinion, the best player playing at the moment, and I think he's going to comfortably mop up this group. Do you think otherwise, or you agree with me?
I'm not sure if he's comfortably the best player right now. I think I'd put him at tie with Flash, but yeah, he's gonna kill everyone in this group. But I see him losing to C somehow.
It's possible, but
DBZ has not been his it hasn't been his best matchup lately, and I think that's the one he could lose if he somehow loses. But yeah, he'll make it out of this group.
right, and let's move on to Hydra real quick. He is the, well, he's not. He's actually not a Royal Rota per se, because of the new weird ass round of 36 system that OGN introduced to help the fans out. But for the sake of this, we'll call him a Royal Rota. He has all the pressure on him to make a mark. And what do you, he's got a tough group. How do you think he'll fare?
I really don't have enough information about Hydra. I don't think really anyone has a good sense of who he is as a player right now. He's just been like really, really mediocre, and then he just comes out of nowhere to waltz through his OSL preliminary bracket and make it here. And I mean, to a degree, I guess you could call it, well, you don't know if it's luck or whether it's skill until he actually plays OSL games.
Well, he did beat Stats and Baby to get here, which is pretty good. Stats and Baby are two respectable players, but you also have to consider Baby has been playing pretty crap as of late.
Baby sucks, officially sucks now. After watching like this night's games, I'm done waiting. He's officially bad again. Well, in official by me, but whatever.
Right, so if you're, if you were to pick two to advance from this group, you'd obviously want to put Jadong as number one.
Yeah,
Who
definitely.
would you want to pick for the second?
All right, well, you want to say C because he is definitely the second best player in the group, but I don't know, you can't go against history and like what's happened in the past, and like that's just says, C's gonna find a way to choke and fail again. So yeah, I'm just gonna write off C. I'm just gonna write him off. So I have to pick between Hydra and Pure. And when it comes down to that, I think, I'm gonna go with Pure. Because he continues to just baffle me and win games that I think he shouldn't be winning. But he does it time and time again, so I have to go with Pure.
All right, I'm going with Hydra because I think Pure can't beat Hydra in my opinion. Like Hydra's got a pretty good CVP, and if you remember that game on, or the playoff game, I think it was against Hyuk he played today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was, that was pretty awful.
Oh, you mean Pure versus Hyuk?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was god awful. But that's the thing. That's what happens when you put like two guys who are like upset machines against each other. Two unpredictable guys. God knows what will happen.
All right, let's move on to Group D. We got three Protosses, three Dragons. We got Cal Free, who is a Royal Rota, funnily enough, and Stork. And the lone Terran in that group is Fancy. We all know that Fancy's TVP's his best matchup. Let's start off with the seed in this group, which is Cal.
Yeah, Cal's been something lately. He's kind of turned into like a very mediocre, like 50% win ratio pro gamer. I really don't like his chances in this group. Well, but that's the thing about this group is that Protoss players, like no matter how badly they're doing, they always seem to like PvP. They're like, hey, you know what? I'm sucking right now, but PvP, I got like a 50% chance against anyone. That seems to be like their perception of the matchup. Whenever, like, no matter how bad they're doing, like even a terrible player like Brock in the past, oh, PvP, whatever, I think PvP. And that's kind of how it is for Colin and Free, who aren't really great PvP players, but they still seem really happy with their group.
Yeah,
Even
No,
when it
sorry, go
was
on.
the group originally before the final switch ever made, he switched Beast with Fantasy, but this group used to be call Free Stork Bisou. And you would think, oh, Storks would be the primitive favorite to come out of that because he's the best PvP player out of all of them. But everyone was really happy with that group when he was in the interviews. Call was like, oh God, like he was like in heaven. He was like, he couldn't like stop smiling. And Free seemed really happy with it. So everyone, like, I don't know, Protoss players, they love their PvP apparently.
Yeah, it's only one matchup to focus on, and it's a very volatile matchup when you can think about it.
Yeah, so Call, but regardless of his own confidence, he's just been playing poorly lately. But Call is a proven winner, which is, I gotta take that over Free. I mean, I think Free is the one. I like everyone in this group except Free, pretty much. Like everyone else in this group is a proven, winner and a big game match and a big match winner. Free is the only one who's, is just, he's a good player who can't win big games.
Well, when you say that, and it's pretty funny, as I said before, Free is a Royal Rota. He's never made an OSL before in the past 4 years he's been around, which is pretty funny.
There's a reason for that.
Which is?
Oh, he's not a big game player.
All right. But he's made the MSL semis, yeah. He made the MSL semis quite some time ago. I think it was Club Day with the LP, Final Four.
Yeah, he made it last season too, but that's because he got the luck of playing Haya, who went Ghost Wraith Nuke versus him, which is like, oh, thanks. Here, take this game from me.
So, do you think Freeze luck's gonna end with this group?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could have done well in another group, but this group is packed. This is the group of death if you had to like
Yeah,
talk about
definitely.
in terms of pedigree. I mean, even though Call is like
Sucking.
faltering now, I mean, in the OSL, it's just as a rule, you take guys who've proven they can make it to the later rounds. There's just guys who find a way in big games to like bring a cool strategy or just like concentrate really hard for 20 minutes. I don't know. I mean, it's not always the same guys, but you see a trend. There's guys who can make it and there's guys who can't. And Cause, he's a silver medalist in the past and multiple times I'm a finalist. So he's definitely, he'll play better. He'll play better. And he might not make it out, but he'll still play better than he has been.
All right, let's talk about Stork. He hasn't been playing his greatest, but he's still getting wins. Do you think he's a favorite to advance from this group?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think he's the one who's going to be the most pleased with this group because these are his best matchups. Really, like I think it's been Stork's entire career story that he's pretty much just was waiting to win a PvZ, and then after that, everything else is easy. Has he lost like has he ever lost the PvT semi or like PvT final?
I think he. I know he won his. He won against Fantasy and
And Flash.
Flash. Yep. No, I forgot. You gotta do some digging up, I guess.
All right, well, we can do that for later. But in general, like Stork is really great at PvP and PvT. Even when he's been bad, we always say he's been bad just because his PvZ isn't faltering. Even during the periods when he's bad, his PvP and PvT are still always good. So I think he'll make it out of this group easily, but the question for Stork is, like, where is his PvZ at right now? We haven't seen it for a while. I mean, can he beat, like, any of his Urs in this OSL? I mean, the Urs in this OSL, besides Jadon, I think he can beat all of them. But still, I mean, it's still his worst matchup. He could beat everyone but Jadon, but he could also lose. He could stand to lose to Hydra or Action, too, if he's unlucky.
All right, let's talk about Fantasy. He's got playoffs ahead of him, so his schedule's gonna be pretty packed. And he's also got the MSLs, but he's playing Hyuk, so it's not that really much a big of a deal. A matchup I'm looking forward to is Fantasy vs Stork of, because it's the Inkarut rematch. Do you think he'll go 3-0 against these three Protosses?
You know what? I'm actually in the camp that his recent TPP performances have been kind of inflated by his opponents. I'm not really sure if if his TVP is as good as we're imagining right now. I mean, his he killed, who was it? Was
Brave.
it Brave? He like totally killed Brave with just vultures, which was really fun to see, of course. But you know, Brave sucks. Even though he, yeah, Brave sucks. So I'm just thinking, you know, well, an Atticus record, it's not terrible.
So
Yeah, I don't
if
know. Just in general, I feel like we haven't seen enough of his TVP lately. I mean, I'll give him a lot of past credit, of course, but I think Stork is still the favorite in that matchup.
All right, so if you want to predict two players, I'm taking you'd go for Stork in fantasy.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Stork and Call.
All right. I'm going with Stork and Fantasy just because I think Fantasy's TP will be good enough to get through this group.
Do you think Fantasy will go 3-0?
I think he'll lose to Stork, but he'll beat Callan Free.
That's the thing. Like, I think Free will beat him.
Really?
Like, Fantasy's like a very finesseful like player in PvP, but he's not like the best like all mech to 3-3 and you know, smack you to death kind of guy.
He's a
And
very fancy drop stuff everywhere sort of person, which I like.
I don't know if that works against a player like Pure. I think like a player like Pure, at some point you have to beat him in a fight. And I'm not sure if you can do that against Pure.
Alright, so let's go on to the last sort of topics. You
Oh wait.
wanted to talk about if this was the best OSL level?
Oh yeah, that's definitely a good question. In terms of name value, we've had better in the past when we had like all the legends, but just in terms of like pure skill and like the parity of the field, this might not be the best ever, but this is definitely one of the best. It could have been better, but we got a few spoilers in the end last second. But really, like in this entire OSL, I mean, only like bad players, I guess you could call out, are like Hydra and I don't know, like Hydra and Action are pretty much the only players you could say are like below par.
Well,
Not even Action.
when you think
Yeah.
about it, the Hydras and Actions are like the Mumyongs and Rocks of yesteryear.
Yeah, so I mean, not they're even them, they're not that, I'm not even saying they're bad. They're just like below the other guys. And Hydra's probably the worst guy in this tournament, which is understandable. But like, well, like I think about like the worst three guys in this tournament are Action, Kel'Thas, and Hydra. But after that, seriously, it's packed. And even the worst three guys aren't that bad. They're all like mainstays on their team, pretty much. They're all like the number one Zerg on their team. And after that, everyone else is like pretty much like a star on their team.
With the exception of Hydra, who's second fiddle to Effort, but it's pretty
Oh, wait.
irrelevant.
Yeah, but, like outside the bottom three players, Action, Kel'Thas, and Hydra. Everyone on this team, everyone else is either this first or second best player on their team. Like everyone. Oh, except Pure. Fuck. Never mind.
Do you want to talk about maps, or you're not interested?
I don't have enough data. All I can say is the not enough data for Dreamliner to really say it's unbalanced or anything.
What about the other three maps? They've decided to share
Lurith?
Polaris Rhapsody with MSL, and well, we obviously got Eye of the Storm and Grand Line SE.
I don't know if I like Isle of Storm because it's such like a
It's a very
positional.
macro map.
It's very positional too, especially in PvP. Like what position you get like really like affects what's gonna go on. I'm not sure, but I mean it's interesting, but I feel like there's better macro maps out there.
Yeah.
I would have preferred something like I don't know, I like Roadrunner's fun.
But they
Yeah,
don't use that anymore, Roadrunner. And
but
they've recycled Fighting Spirit to death. Same with Match Point.
yeah, Matchpoint was an awesome map. Just gonna have to put that out there.
All right.
And Dreamliner, yeah, we can't say much about Dreamliner. And Grand Line, Grand Line is like awful map. I'm in the group of people who think. Just because it leads to long games doesn't mean they're all good games. It leads to long bad games, not long good games.
Yeah, and it definitely doesn't help when players like Kanata go on there and basically make you fall asleep.
Yeah, there's just too many places to. It's just too easy to expand to random places and not have to worry like tactically about defending them. And that's just how it happens, apparently.
All right, let's move on to the final question. We've been going for quite some time. Who do you think will win the On-Game 8 Star League for this season?
All right, long shot. You go first.
Okay, I've been thinking about this, and I've got two people that I've been thinking, either Jedong or Bisou. And Jedong, obviously, as I said before, I think he is the best player at the moment. But I'll go on to Bisou, even though he has lost some pretty silly games as of late, I do think he has that gear inside of him turned up a notch to this time finally win an OSL.
Oh, really? Okay, what? This is like probably like, I don't know. He's just the most plain pro gamer out there. He's always the same expression. He always seems kind of like happy and kind of chill. But I don't know. He doesn't seem like a guy who gets like intense, though. He's the least intense good player you've seen.
But he's won three MSLs already. I think it's about time he's won an OSL.
I think the fact that he won 3 MSLs is a tribute to how talented he is. But like mentally, he doesn't seem to be like as intense as like a Chedong or a Flash or a Xavier or like any of the other like past greats. Well, Xavier's not a great anymore, whatever. But you don't think Flash is gonna make it?
I think Flash is sort of mini sl min okay, downfall is gonna impede him in the round of 8 and round of 4. I really like, to be honest, I really do hope there will be a Tek Bang Lee Sang round of 4. But that's
Oh.
just my opinion.
But you don't think like Flash is going to turn it around by the round of 8?
No. I'll eat my words if he does though.
You think this would be a long slump in that case? You think it's going to be like a 4 month slump?
Anyway, we'll go on to your thoughts.
I gotta go with the best two pro gamers in the world right now, Flash or Jidong, but if I had to pick between the two, which you didn't do. Wait, which pick one between the two? Pick Bisou or Chedong.
I'd obviously, if I was betting money, I'd obviously pick it all.
Right. If I had to pick between the two, I would have to go Chedong because when I look at this field, there's more people who could potentially upset Flash than people who could upset Chedong. Flash play TBT versus some really excellent DBTers, C, Leader, Fantasy. I mean, not saying he could potentially face those guys who are really good at DBT. And Stork can definitely beat Flash. He's always beaten Flash in the past. Pizu could beat Flash. I mean, I think that Flash's favorite, but who knows? And whereas with Chidong, I mean, like, who's going to beat Chidong but Flash in this entire group? I see like Flash and Pizu beating Chidong. And everyone else is going to lose to him.
Unless something wacky really happens with like someone like Fantasy or later, and even then, that's a really long shot.
So yeah, I'm sure. I mean, yeah, I'd say guys who can credibly have a chance against Chidong are like Effort, Flash, and Pizu, and that's about it. Everyone else, I mean, you have to like favor Chidong by a lot. Whereas with Flash, yeah, I can see him losing versus C, Fantasy, Vita, Pizu, Stork.
Even higher.
I wouldn't go so far as say Haya. Haya's TBT is still his worst matchup, I feel. But yeah, I mean, Flash is more to worry about than Jedong. Jedong probably has a clean path to semis.
All right, so I guess that concludes the podcast for this today.
Thanks,
I
Scott.
just want to end up talking about StarCraft 2, unfortunately. Do you think this may be the last OSL for Brood War?
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting thing because the grace period given to them by COM TV, it's the end of August, right? Yeah.
After Pro League finishes.
Yeah, so they have till summer, sometime in August, which means the Star League will just be going on. And like, I wonder what how like OnGameNet and NBC Game decided to go on with MSL and OSL, knowing that this could all end. And they've all said, you know, they released, you know, these statements about a few months ago. I think maybe like a few months ago, saying, okay, we're gonna negotiate with Comm TV and do what we can to keep ourselves on the air. And those statements came out like months ago, and there's been no new news about Comm TV or OnGameNet, KESPA, this entire situation at all. So we've pretty much been in the dark about this for a while now. And I like to think that, you know, OnGameNet and MSL, they're not going on because, oh, you know, it's, oh, they're not going to say, oh, we have nothing else to do, so this is what we've always done. I really hope they're doing this because they have a plan and they have something they believe in. They know that, oh, okay, things are going to go well with Comm TV and they're going to get some like license contract or whatever. So yeah, I hope things go well.
All right, so we'll end on that note, and we'll end the podcast for t this episode. I'd like to thank Wax Angel again for being awesome, basically saving my ass all every time I talk.
Thanks for having a sexy voice. It made a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, thank you. So we'll end with that, and we'll see you next time. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. So, Wax Angel, say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye. Watch OSL.
All right. This is GTR signing out. Have a good day.